You found the best place for quality internet talk. Around the clock and around the world. TalkZone.com. Let's get back to How to Tour Italy on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Anthony Capozzoli.
Welcome back to the How to Tour Italy radio show, and I want to thank Rich DeSilvio for being a part of the show today about his book, The Winds of Time. So please make sure you link from the TalkZone webpage to go out and check it out yourself. And with that, we have my friend Janice Mancuso talking about 31 Days of Italians. Welcome to the show, Janice.
Hi, Anthony. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you today?
Okay, thanks.
Very, very good. So who are we going to be talking about today? I'm dying to know.
We have two great men that had an impact on New York. One is not as well known as the other. First one is John N. La Corte, and he's responsible for the naming of the Verrazano Narrows Bridge.
Wonderful. I've actually been to the Verrazano Winery in Tuscany, so it's wonderful. I'm glad we're talking about this today. This is great.
Wonderful. He was born in America, but he went back to Sicily with his parents, and he stayed there until he was 19. And then came back to America. But before I talk about him, of course, you know, I have to get a little bit about Italy in. And I just wanted to talk about Sicily just a tiny bit and tell people, because not many people are aware of the really rich history of Sicily and how it was considered once the crossroads of the Mediterranean. It's the largest island in the Mediterranean. And it was ruled by the Phoenicians, the Greeks, Romans, the Arabs, the Normans, the French, the Spanish. There's just so many, just a few. That's just a few of them.
Right.
So many others. And some of the wonderful things about Sicily, too, is that it was the first country to produce dried pasta for commercial use. Most people don't know that. And it's said that gelato was created there, and also the marzipan fruit was created there. And in the area of Mount Etna, which is the second well-known volcano that Italy has, it's known for its very flavorful pistachios from Bronte. So that's just a few of the things about the foods and a little bit about the overall, very, very brief overall history of Sicily. This came from my book, Con Amore, which goes into the history, gives an overview of the history of Italy, the regional foods that are popular in America, recipes, and a love story. I call it a book about love, life, and food Italian style.
They all go hand in hand perfectly, so well done.
Yes. Well, John La Corte, he came back to America, and he became a very successful businessman selling life insurance, and mainly to Italian immigrants. And because of, he was very proud of his American citizenship, and because of that, his upbringing in Sicily and his knowledge of the Italian immigrant, he had a real keen awareness of the cultural differences that the immigrants faced in America. Of course, at the same time, that was in the late 20s, early 30s. The news was filled with Italian stereotypes, very negative stereotypes, and he wanted to educate others about the positive accomplishments of Italians. And it took him a while, but in 1949, he founded the Italian Historical Society of America, and that was to publicize the accomplishments. And that's still in existence today, and I'll just talk about that briefly for a couple of seconds, too.
Sure.
But I just wanted to continue on with his accomplishments. A few of the things that he did was he made the public aware of Antonio Meucci, who was the original inventor of the telephone, and also Costantino Brumidi, who was known as the Michelangelo of the Capitol, and that's the Capitol, you know, in Washington. All the beautiful artwork, if anybody's been there, all the beautiful artwork is, of course, done by an Italian.
Right.
And another one, Charles J. Bonaparte, who is the great-grandnephew of Napoleon, and he established the Federal Bureau of Investigation. So it's kind of interesting how all these men are mentioned on 31 Days of Italians. They're all part of all the wonderful people who have contributed so much to America, and anybody can go there and just do a search, 31 Days of Italians, in quotes, Google search. It'll come right up, and you can just go to the index and find all of these and many others who have really contributed. And like I said, La Corte's greatest accomplishment was the naming of the Verrazano Bridge and Verrazano Narrows Bridge, which is the technical or legal term. Okay, of course, we all call it the Verrazano Bridge.
Right.
And which connects, for those who don't know, connects Brooklyn to Staten Island. It was the longest suspension bridge at the time that it was started in 1959. He went through a fascinating history that people can find if they go to the links that I provide on 31 Days of Italians about what he had to go through all the years and all the difficulties he endured in getting the name. They wanted to name it after Henry Huston because people said that, you know, Verrazano was too difficult to pronounce, and of course a lot of other reasons. But he managed to petition the governors of all the states surrounding New York, and he also spoke to Bobby Kennedy, who he had spoken to before when he was trying to get Bonaparte more well known. And because many people, after JFK died, many people wanted to name the bridge after JFK, but they wound up naming the airport, which was originally named Idlewild Airport. They named the airport JFK,
yeah,
and they named the bridge the Verrazano Bridge. And there's a beautiful monument to him at John Paul Jones Park in Brooklyn, right at the base of the bridge, on the Brooklyn end. And the, like I said, the Italian Historical Society of America is still in existence today. His son John has been the director since 1991, and the Italian Historical Society of America is also my fiscal sponsor, and that means that I have a nonprofit status, so I can take donations, and they are totally deductible, and those donations help me with getting, you know, doing the work that I do to try to get Italian American history in the educational system in the United States.
Well, that's wonderful. That'd be something to maybe talk about on another show, is a little bit about how to help you kind of get some additional funding and some donations from people so that you can continue this wonderful research, because it is very well done and the research is amazing. So,
well, thank you. I love it. I mean, I really do enjoy it. It's like finding little gems. You know, it's like on a treasure hunt.
Yeah, it really is, and it's great stuff. I mean, even today, I mean, I learned something new. I had no idea that Sicily was the first region, if you will, to sell dried pasta commercially. Like, that's amazing to me, considering how much pasta is consumed now, especially by me, on a regular basis, and we can thank Sicily for that.
Yeah, and actually it was the Arabs, too, who were the ones, during their rule, the 9th and 10th century, were the ones who started that. So,
wow.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, it is. Very neat. Now, the second person I'm going to talk about, who also had a greater influence on New York, is Fiorello LaGuardia. Okay, and everybody pretty much knows him, of course.
Sure.
Plus at the airport. But anybody, you know, New York, you know, he was just such a famous mayor there. He was the first mayor that was elected for three terms. And he went, it was from 1933 to 1945. So that was like at the tail end now, you know, of the Depression. And he's responsible for much of the city's growth after the Depression and his management. But he was born in New York City, actually, and he traveled around the United States with his family. His father enlisted in the army. His father was actually born in Foggia, in Puglia, okay? Mm-hmm. And he came to America, and he enlisted in the army, and he became a bandmaster of the U.S. Infantry, the 11th Infantry. And he traveled all around wherever they sent him. And after he retired, they did go back to Italy, to where his mother was born in Trieste, and he stayed there for a while. And he became Fiorello became a in the council there. He became a I'm just looking here. There's one thing I wanted to discuss too with Foggia. There's a archaeological site there. It's a Neolithic village from 5,000 to 4,000 B.C. And it's
holy cow!
Yeah, and it's included in the Cambridge Study of Archaeology, and it's which is called the Early Mediterranean Village. It was published in 2007, and the ruins of the site is open to the public. They include figurines, pottery, it's the burial site, their village layout, and animals. So it's kind of interesting that something that's there in that area. But Fiorello, when they went back, he served in the American Council of Service there, and then he returned to New York in 1907, and he worked as an interpreter at Ellis Island for a while.
That's awesome. And I've got Ms. Kathy McCabe on the line as well to kind of wrap up the show. We've got about 5 minutes left or so I apologize. But I'd love to have you back on, because the influence on New York is huge. I mean, LaGuardia, we're talking about that, of course, and then the Verrazano Bridge, two mainstay components of living in New York or being in New York. Those are things people walk away with for sure. So,
oh, yeah, yeah.
I love it. And I'll tell you, Janice, I'm looking forward to having you on next week, and then I'm off to Italy, so I'll have to figure out a way to get you patched into the show while I'm overseas.
Okay, that sounds great.
Wonderful talking with you, and thank you so much for being a part of the show today.
Thank you.
Ciao.
All right, bye now.
Kathy, how you doing?
Hi.
How's it going? I'm sorry about that. I just ran a little long with Janice.
I'm learning lots of
new things.
Isn't that great? And I had a friend of mine, Diane Hales, on the first segment of the show with her wonderful book.
I'm going to talk to Diane tomorrow. She has her new book out.
Yeah, she's so great, and I can't wait to you know, to see how well it's embraced, because I'm sure it's going to be an amazing book. And with your reach and how well you use Twitter, it's amazing. I can't wait to see you kind of promote it that way, too. It'll be cool.
Well, we're actually going to, I don't know how we're going to do it, we're going to give away next month 5 copies of her book. So
cool.
People should follow me on Twitter at Dream of Italy, or get my email newsletter, which you can get at dreamofitaly.com. You also get a free special report on Amalfi Coast. We might give the books away on the email. We're actually giving away 6 copies of a book tomorrow on my email newsletter. So
that's awesome.
And
very cool. In fact, Kathy and I stay in touch all day, every day, it seems like, because of Twitter. It's wonderful. In fact, one of the things we're going to talk about today is something that Kathy was using, was talking about on Twitter, and that was is the Gregorian chant you can learn or go to class for in Tuscany. That's wonderful stuff. So how did you come across that?
I came across it from somebody else on Twitter who's based, I think, in Tuscany, and it's Cassina di Rosa. And she just linked off to this program and that you can take. It's a weekend in Tuscany, and you learn from the actual chant, the monks who chant at the Abbey of Sant'Animo, which is near Montalcino, and which is a great place to go anyway. But if you're really into it, you can go for this weekend and do some meditation, stay at a local agriturismo, and learn from the brothers there, the monks, you know, how to do these chants.
That is so cool. I mean, when I read, and I read quite a bit, I always have the chant in the background because it kind of relaxes me and puts me in the right mode. All right, mood rather, and I read to it constantly. So I can't wait to go there for the How to Tour Italy project, and showcase this a little bit more and kind of get it out there, because I think that's something that people should go check out, because it's so awesome. And talk about a wonderful throwback to kind of get a taste and feel of what, you know, medieval living would be like. It'd be wonderful.
Yeah, actually, I've been to the Abbey, but I happen to go. They usually do the chanting 6 times a day. And I just happened to get there at the wrong time, or it was one of the days they weren't doing it. So the Abbey is really, it's really beautiful, but I didn't hear the chants. But it's, I know it's crazy, but it's really right between like Montalcino, Montepulciano, and Pienza. So, you know, when people are touring around that area and trying the wine and cheese, this is a great place to stop.
Oh, yeah, that seems like a wonderful stop, and it's going to be something I'm going to do. I'll be renting a car and traveling around quite a bit, and that is definitely going to be at least once. I'd like to try and stop a couple of times because I love that stuff. And for those listening, I mean, certainly tap into Kathy McCabe's Twitter and follow her, because your tips, I have to say, are wonderful, because not only are they cool for the traveler, but people that just generally love Italy, that maybe have been there before or want to go, all the great tips and information that you have is wonderful. And that round trip flight that you found from Dallas to Rome for a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah. If you check me out on Twitter at Dream of Italy, so you put twitter.com/Dream of Italy, you'll see a link to, there's this round trip fare, $292 Dallas to Rome, including all taxes. And I was blown away.
That's amazing. And how long was the stay for that rate? Is it like a 10-day stay or something?
I don't know. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, you couldn't stay much longer than that. But it was just, and there are even, you know, there's definitely deals in the 400s and 500s. But this just happened to be, I think, a fluke. And I've been reading a lot of articles this week, actually, that people are just saying this is the summer to go. This is the summer to go to Italy because the fares are really a lot lower.
You know, it is the summer to go, and people are concerned, and rightly so, about the economy, because it is tough. But this is truly the summer to go. I have never, ever seen so many great airfare deals, so many great stays or, like, deals on hotels, and so many people that, you know, make their living with the tourism industry over there, whether they be tour guides or restaurant owners or whatever the case might be. There are so many great ways to save some money and still go and experience a wonderful vacation. This is the summer to go, anyone. I mean, if you have a couple hundred bucks laying around, go to Italy. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You can't beat it. And like I said, there's you know, if you follow Dream of Italy on Twitter, you'll get all the great airfare deals. You'll know all the cool stuff to do. So you should definitely do that, because it's amazing. I mean, a couple hundred bucks to get to Rome from Dallas, I mean, that's unheard of. I don't think you can get to Dallas for $200 from Chicago.
I know.
I don't know how they do that.
We'll keep looking for fares like that.
One thing I is curious about, because you do such a good job with keeping people updated with not only your newsletter and your blog and stuff, but with Twitter and everything. How do you find all these wonderful deals and all this great information? I mean, you have an extensive network. There's no question about that. So is that part of it?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I just, you know, I'm just always, I'm just an information junkie. I'm always reading. I'm always trying to find things. I'm always hearing about stuff. You know, I have a good network of people. And I think, you know, I think one thing that people have told me, and it might be true with the newsletter, is I just think I have a good eye for what might be interesting to people. So, and maybe it's just because I'm just like my audience. I'm really interested in Italy and
sure. And
travel to Italy and deals and doing different new things that other people haven't done. So I'm always looking for the new thing, for sure.
I agree. And if it's okay, I'm going to give you another compliment here. I just getting things ready to go for the How to Tour Italy project, and I just happened to mention your name in an email to a company, and I'll say the name of the company. It's Tuscan Women Cook. And they wouldn't entertain, they were, you know, interested in talking to me until I'd mentioned your name in passing. And then your name carries a pretty big stick. So now not only am I going, I'm going to be staying there for a couple days on property, and I'm getting the full royal treatment thanks to Kathy. So I want to thank you on the air for that.
Wow, we will enjoy that.
That is wonderful. And I'm not abusing it, I promise. I'm not going to go out of my way. But the point being, for anyone out there that has a love and a passion for Italy, travel to Italy, subscribing to the Dream of Italy newsletter will only help you along the way, not only feed your love and fuel your passion, but to find all the greatest deals you can possibly get out there with the Dream of Italy newsletter, the blog, and the Twitter stuff. So that's great stuff.
Thank you. Thanks for your vote of confidence.
No problem. My pleasure. And Kathy and I will continue, of course, every week, even while I'm doing the How to Tour Italy show, with our segments. And hopefully it'll be a little bit longer, because I'll be contributing on a weekly basis snippets to her blog about what I'm doing, where I'm going, and what I'm seeing. So I'm looking forward to working that out.
Great.
It's going to be good stuff. And Kathy, it's always a pleasure to have you on the line with us here for the How to Tour Italy radio show. And I look forward to having you on next week.
Awesome. I will talk to you then, and hope your readers have or your readers, that's me, your listeners have a good week.
Thank you so much. Take care, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week. Ciao.